Cuomo News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
So by now we all know that the Supreme Court in a 5-4 vote, a very surprising turn of events from Chief Justice Roberts there, John Roberts, deciding that this was a taxation issue and not a commerce one. We have the Supreme Court backing the health care law in a 5-4 vote. And, you know, we've talked to some degree as to how the implementation of that, what it means in terms of what will be provided. I think it would be helpful if we could talk also not just what will be provided, but what the process is, because it's all about process sometimes. And to that end, we have Doug Porter, who is the director of the Washington State Healthcare Authority, joining us here on Newsline PM. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Ken.
So process, tell me about it. How many people right now in Washington State, for example, are waiting for, you know, basic health care or, you know, Medicaid or whatever?
Well, there's a few numbers I can give you. You've got, first of all, 1.2 million people on our Medicaid program as we speak. We also had what's called the basic health program for people who weren't Medicaid eligible but were also low income, but they were mostly single adults. And that program at one point was up to around 125,000, 130,000. Through budget reductions, that program shrank down to about 30,000 where it is today. And we have about another 150,000 people who would like to, they're on a waiting list, they'd like to get into that program. And those are basically people who would be eligible under the Medicaid expansion come 2014. So we're trying to hang on to that basic health program that's now funded with half state and half federal money between now and 2014 prior to being able to open that that eligibility up to more people.
So how do we reach back out then to those people who, because of budgetary problems, had to get booted from the basic health care system, who are on the waiting list, the Medicaid? What does the state do to reach out to those people and tell them what they are eligible for as this health care act moves forward and gets more and more implemented?
Well, we're going to be announcing shortly the establishment of this health insurance exchange that we just got funded for and that we're building right now. So there'll be some promotional materials, and we're going to partner with what we call health navigators in the community and brokers and get the word out that there's going to be a new marketplace for getting health care insurance, either commercial insurance through the exchange, or you'll be able to be determined Medicaid eligible through this exchange. So that'll be one push. We also have programs in the Department of Social and Health Services for people like food stamps and assistance with child care. So we know names and addresses of people who aren't on Medicaid but who would have incomes that would make them eligible for a Medicaid expansion come 2014. And we'll be able to reach out to them and help them apply as well.
Does that satisfy the mandate aspect of what the health care law then requires? For example, if people right now are on a waiting list for basic health care or trying to get back onto Medicaid, and with the expansion of this and the federal dollars that will be then provided, when those people enter the basic health plan or they get back onto a Medicaid program here in Washington State, does that satisfy the individual requirement of purchasing health care?
It sure does.
Gotcha. Okay. And so what, if any, cost to those programs is it to the – like what would it cost a young adult who's, you know, working a minimum wage job, getting on basic health? What do they pay, or if anything?
It's on a sliding scale. It can be as low as like $20 a month.
Because that's one of the questions that persists is that, you know, people who can't afford to buy health care insurance are not going to be able to afford the fine that would be then levied against them by the Internal Revenue Service. But what we're hearing now, if we're understanding everything correctly, is that each state, which has something similar to the basic health plan or and has Medicaid, that satisfies that requirement. And so the expense is not so overwhelming or oppressive.
I think that's why the accent's on affordable and the Affordable Care Act. There is an understanding that you've got folks out there who would have to choose between putting food on the table and paying for health insurance. And for those folks, you've got a free Medicaid program, basically. There's no premium. Or a basic health program like we have that would have very modest premiums, very affordable premiums. And from our experience in the basic health program, people are more than happy to pay something toward the cost of their health care. They're not looking for a free ride, and if you bring in a a premium that is, say, you know, 2 to 5% of somebody's household income, that's affordable in our experience.
Now, what about prescription drugs? Is this all covered, particularly under the basic health program?
It is. Medicaid, it's an optional benefit, but every state Medicaid program in the country offers a prescription drug benefit. Our basic health program has a prescription drug benefit, and we're pretty sure that the benchmark plan for the newly eligible Medicaid folks would require a prescription drug benefit as well.
And I'm sitting here, and I suck at math. I'm so bad at math. But I'm trying to go back to the figures that we were tossing around with the number of people who, because of the economy, had to be removed from the basic health care plan, those who are on the waiting list for the basic health care plan, and those who are on the waiting list for Medicare. What are we looking at, 250,000 people or so in this state that would that are going to directly benefit from the Supreme Court decision today?
Well, I think it's fair to say that everybody, whether you have insurance or not, benefited from the Supreme Court decision today. There were a lot of consumer protections in there. My daughter benefited. She's under 26. I have her on my health insurance program through the state. She doesn't have to struggle as a college student trying to find health insurance that she can afford. I can keep her covered under my policy, and that's all due to the Affordable Care Act. She can stay on there until she turns 26.
But those, yeah, I know, I'm with one of those too. Our youngest son is 25, and he remains on our health care insurance. But what I'm saying is directly, how many people do we have in this state right now without health care insurance?
I can give you that number real easy. It's easy to remember. There are 1 million adults in our state that don't have health insurance.
Okay, so my sucky math was bad then. Because that's what I was estimating, that 250,000, but you're saying it's 1 million people. And when I say directly benefit, I know there's ancillary benefits for all of us, but these are people who are going to be provided, health care, either through the basic health care system or Medicaid, because of...
Or the commercial market.
Or the commercial market. But more importantly, and I want to go back to that commercial market because I think that sticks in people's head. So if I'm working a minimum wage job, I don't have to go to an insurance agent and buy some policy that's going to cost me, you know, $200, $300, $400 a month, whatever it is. I can go through the state and I will pay a sliding scale in order to get on that basic health care program.
That's right.
So when do we begin implementing all this?
We will be able to open up the basic health program for enrollment as of October of 2013, and people will be able to be covered effective January 1st of 2014.
Wow, you got a lot of work cut out for you.
Sure do. We're busy here.
Well, I think following this morning's decision, I think you got a lot busier.
Well, actually not. The governor was very clear that the Affordable Care Act was the law of the land, and we should not be distracted by the question mark that the Supreme Court had hovering over us, and she told us to keep marching straight ahead. So we're just staying the course and staying the pace. We never slowed down.
Good advice. Doug Porter, the director of the Washington State Healthcare Authority, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Ken.
All right, good talking with you.
Yep, bye-bye.
In a moment, we're going to talk with former U.S. State Supreme Court Justice Phil Talmadge. I'm curious about this turn that John Roberts made from the issue being one of commerce to one of taxes.
Seattle's waking up to the Como Morning News 5 to 9. Right now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Quote, the federal government does not have the power to order people to buy health insurance. The federal government does have the power to impose a tax on those without health care insurance. That is what Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts wrote in his majority opinion on the decision today that upholds the health care law, which I find that fascinating. Again, I think many of the pundits expected that this was going to be struck down based primarily on the mandate aspect, that people be required to purchase health care insurance or face a penalty fine if they don't. And what John Roberts did, if you'll excuse the pun, in an abrupt turn to the left. Okay, I'm just told we have a breaking traffic situation. We have Lori Harding standing by. So I'll go away for a moment, and Lori will be here.
Yeah, Ken, we have a rollover collision. This is southbound 405, just after 522, blocking all lanes. South 405 at 522, all lanes blocked for a collision.
Thank you very much, Lori. We'll find out, give you information on that as it becomes available, if there are serious injuries there and how long it's going to take to clean things up. But you can probably expect traffic on 405 to be quite a mess for a little while. All right, getting back to this here. So I'm talking about the issue commerce versus taxes. And I, pun intended, said, you know, for John Roberts to have taken an abrupt turn to the left, I find that pretty amazing. Phil Talmadge, former Washington State Supreme Court Justice, joins me here on Newsline PM. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since we've been able to talk.
It has been. Too long.
Too long. So tell me what your thoughts on this are. Were you surprised at the interpretive manner in which Roberts kind of swept this thing off to the side?
Well, I was kind of surprised that he saw the Commerce Clause as narrowly as he saw it. But frankly, I'm not surprised that he upheld the taxing authority of the Congress, and basically cut through all of the discussion in Congress and in the legislation about whether this would be the individual mandate was a tax or not a tax, to say that in effect it is.
But even the president, I know he spoke specifically to his point that he did not see this as a tax, and yet it was that view that apparently has saved the Health Care Reform Act.
And as far as I'm concerned, anything that saves the Health Care Reform Act is just fine. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, stepping back from this for a second, health care in the United States is the biggest single domestic issue that this country has faced in the last century. We've been unable to step up to the plate since the Medicare and Medicaid days of 1965 to deal with these issues. We had to do that. Lee Iacocca's observation that when he came back to Chrysler Corporation, then the biggest single component of cost in building a Chrysler automobile was not steel, was not plastic, was not the hourly wages of the workers, but it was the health care of the workers, is a telling statement. We will not be competitive until we deal with health care, and now we finally have.
And yet we're still dealing with the rhetoric, having listened to Mitt Romney earlier today talking about, hey, look, you got to put me in the White House, because if we get rid of Obama, then you put me in there and I can get rid of this Health Care Reform Act. Is there any way, and I asked this of both Dave Reichert and I asked it of Jim McDermott, is there any way for them to cherry pick this? Because I think public consensus is a lot of people were not necessarily enamored with the mandate. But most people appreciated everything else that the Health Care Reform Act provides.
I don't think they can cherry pick it. And let's talk about the realities of how the system works, Ken. I was listening to Cuomo earlier today, and you had some young guy get on, and it was between the ages of 25 and 35, I think, and he said, look, I don't need health insurance. That was his statement. Well, of course, if he doesn't buy health insurance and he goes out and he's riding his motorcycle and he scrambles his brains on the street, he's the first guy standing in line to say, I'm entitled to Medicaid coverage at the emergency room and for all the hospitalization that follows from my injury, even though I've been irresponsible in not buying health insurance for myself. That's the kind of problem that we face. People that don't have health insurance will face some catastrophic event, or they will have need of routine care, and because they don't have regular health insurance coverage, they go to some place like the emergency room at our local hospitals, which can't turn them away, and they get health care there at far in excess of the cost of just routine visits that the regular health insurance policy would pay for. Our system doesn't make any sense the way we've got it structured, absent having everybody having health insurance.
Got it. Let me ask you something else now. You've had your fair share of election battles. How do you think this is going to play out in November?
Well, I think I think there's a huge quality of disingenuity on the part of some of these people, particularly the Republican nominee, the presumptive Republican nominee for president. I mean, how Governor Romney can with a straight face make all of the noise that he's made about the individual mandate when he argued for it and got it enacted in the state of Massachusetts is beyond me. And I have to tell you, Ken, having been someone who sponsored a health care reform act that got passed in Washington State that was very similar to the president's, the people who argued for an individual mandate weren't Democrats but were Republicans. They argued for it over and over and over and over again in all of the debates. And for them now to say, oh, that wasn't a good idea, there's a really remarkable sense of disingenuity about that particular position.
I love hypocrisy in politics. Phil Talmadge, former Washington State Supreme Court Justice. Good talking with you, man. Thanks.
Hey, same here, Ken. Take care.
You too. Take care. In a moment, we'll get some more. We'll peel away and get some more insight as to the political nature of what this decision can mean.
Reporting the news, understanding the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So I'm sure you have seen this photograph. It's a very famous photograph taken back in 1948, the Chicago Tribune. And it had Harry Truman holding up a copy of the Chicago Tribune newspaper with the headline that read, "Dewey defeats Truman." Well, it was a major screw-up. Obviously, Dewey did not defeat Truman. Truman won the election. But it's a real famous photograph of Truman holding up this newspaper. Well, online now, they have a photoshopped picture of Barack Obama holding up an iPad in the same fashion that Truman was holding up the newspaper. And on the iPad is the headline from CNN that said it was unconstitutional. Because CNN got it wrong this morning. Fox News got it wrong this morning. The problem, yeah, I think I will. I'll post the photoshopped picture of Obama in the same pose. I'll post that on my Facebook for you. It's pretty damn funny. In a moment, we are going to talk with the head of the Connections Group, a Democratic strategist, political strategist, Kathy Allen. And we're going to find out, we'll immerse ourselves a little bit more in terms of what today's Supreme Court decision may mean come November.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
I did put that picture up on my Facebook page for you. I'm telling you, you'll recognize it. It's duplicating in some extent, to some extent, the famous picture of Harry Truman holding up the Chicago Tribune that says Dewey beats Truman. Only this is Obama holding up an iPad that has CNN headline on it that says mandate struck down, because CNN had it wrong and they had it wrong for like 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Fox News had it wrong for a little bit less than that, but both of them, you know, trying to be first, they didn't care if they were accurate, be that as it may. Hey, thanks for joining me here in Newsline PM on this Thursday afternoon. I appreciate that a lot. So you got to know, you got to know that President Obama and Mitt Romney and Nancy Pelosi, and, you know, regardless of which side of the aisle, anyone with a major voice in politics today probably had several speeches written in anticipation of the Supreme Court decision that was to be handed down today. And it was probably, you know, one speech dealt with the mandate struck down, another dealt with the whole health care bill being thrown out. Different speeches for different decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court, because you know this is now going to become major political fodder in this election year. Joining us this afternoon, we have Kathy Allen, who is with the Connections Group, National Democratic Political Consultant. How are you, Kathy?
I'm even better than I was this morning when I heard the decision.
Well, that's because you weren't watching CNN.
Yeah, no kidding. Man, I'd be depressed like mad over that.
So how is this going to, because we can already see major hints as to this is going to shape into a kind of a focal point for the, particularly for the presidential campaign, don't you think?
I do, and I think that they're already seeing that proverbial bounce. You know, I thought that Obama, in being able to make the message today, not one of surprise and jubilation, but to instead use the time to be able to remind people about the things they like the most about the Affordable Care Act, like the 26-year-old kids who get to stay on their parents' coverage, the fact that the pre-existing conditions can't mean that you don't get any care or that your insurance company can just throw you out, certainly mentioning women in terms of you can't charge more for the same health care for women than you do men. I got to say that I think he did a great job of containing his, oh my God, I can't believe we did this, and actually making it look like, now I want to tell you more about what's so good about this bill. I think that we see the beginning of the end of those negative numbers for the Affordable Care Act as of today.
Well, a lot of people, and at least anecdotally, I'll say, that there is a great level, a depth of dissatisfaction with the mandate portion of the health care bill.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the majority of people, I think you're absolutely correct, appreciate what the rest of the Reform Act does provide.
The fact that there's $13 million worth of rebates that insurance companies are going to have to pay we the people. You know, I don't think a lot of people actually know that, but I got to tell you that it's one of those moments that it's like, whoa, that is great, man. And the fact that they're putting their hands around drug coverage, particularly as it might relate to a lot of senior coverage plans, these are things that are win-win situations that are going to make this an interesting kind of debate.
All right, so you have the president then obviously going to be accentuating the positive of everything. What tact will Mitt Romney continue to take? Because he's already said, hey, look, you got to put me in the White House, because once I get there, I will repeal, you know, this act and the mandate that's going to require people to buy health insurance.
Ironically, because the decision came down as it did, where it wasn't on the commerce provisions, rather the tax provisions that they ruled it to be constitutional, it's the same baseline that Romney relied upon in Massachusetts. And so he has to be kind of careful. He can't just sort of say, do as I say, not as I do. He has to be able to kind of like say, you know, yeah, but it's different. It should be a states' rights kind of thing. When I don't know that it passes the red face test on this one. He's not going to win on this. And so Romney's got to run like mad away from this issue.
You know, I brought up earlier, and the dichotomy of it was just so damn funny. I got an email ostensibly from Nancy Pelosi saying, this is wonderful. We've been validated, but the fight's not over, and we need you to send a donation right now. Send $3 or more. And then I opened another email, and it's from the Tea Party. And I was laughing because the Democrats wanted to hit me up for a minimum of $3. The Tea Party wanted to hit me up for a minimum of 25, which I thought was kind of funny.
But I do, too. I have to tell you that I've got 7 at last count of people saying, congratulations, and by the way, do you have that credit card available?
Well, and I guess the point here is that already, and I can see this helping to bring the Tea Party to some level of resurgence, because they've kind of been, you know, in the, what is it, before the butterfly emerges from the cocoon.
Yes, it is.
Caterpillar.
There is,
yeah,
a caterpillar.
I don't want to call the Tea Party a butterfly.
You can call them, though, a bug.
They are a bug.
But you can see they're
mobilizing. There's going to be a resurgence here.
I don't know that it's going to be. It will be about less government. I'm not sure. And they'll use the Affordable Care Act as part of it. But I think mostly what this is about is now trying to see what part of this health change, so to speak, can people kind of absorb as a good thing? Or is it still going to look like more government and more government that I don't want to pay for? That's how I think the issue is likely to be framed by the Tea Party. It's interesting. I still believe, Ken, and you and I have talked about this, that the biggest world right now of what's hanging out there to actually deliver a president is going to be these kids between the ages of 18 and 34. They're going to be voting in huge numbers, particularly here in Washington State. They're going to be doing in super huge numbers. In fact, we'll have just a huge 68% of those kids 18 to 34 are going to vote. What we're seeing right now is they're jumping all over the place. They have no one party ideology they're following. They're going to vote for a president in one party, a governor in another, and so on down the line. And so it's really to see how much they will tolerate more government intervention. Frankly, when you go over and take a look at the Affordable Care Act, the people who are likely to be among the most, I would say, influenced by having to get insurance are these healthy kids we see under the age of 35 and over 26 when they fall off their parents' policies, that they're going to have to get this health care insurance. And so I worry about that group and what they start thinking about Obamacare in that process.
Well, it's going to be interesting because if you're looking at the youth vote, I mean, with the accommodation that has been made now for the college loan interest rate, that's going to bode well for President Obama. And for those, you know, who are out there at minimum wage jobs, the health care subsidy that they'll be able to get from the state of Washington. I mean, they can go on the basic health care program here, and that qualifies as their health care. So
I think so, too. I also think that it will be a matter of how Republicans, how quickly they run away from the Affordable Care Act decision. I think that it becomes every day more of a problem for Republicans than it will be for an advantage for Democrats. I think the Democrats are going to say, yeah, great, we won, and they'll focus on we won, as opposed to all the details, which I think the Republicans could use against us.
Well, I think for voters, I think the hyperbole surrounding all of this does not serve as well as the discussion that really needs to take place in respect to the economy. I keep hoping that water seeks its own level. We'll get back to that as the issue.
I can only hope. Well, you have a great opportunity to kind of think great thoughts in the next couple of weeks, and we'll catch you when you're back.
All right, thanks. Kathy Allen with the Connections Group. Always good talking with you, Kath.
You too.
All right, take
Bye.
Care. I tell you what, I've been wanting to get you in on this. I'm going to do it now. I want to hear your voice on this. I want to hear what you think about the Supreme Court's decision today. Are you happy? Are you upset? Are you depressed? 206-421-1000 is our local line. The toll-free number for you is 877-397-COMO. That's 877-397-5666. What do you think of the Supreme Court's decision today on the Health Care Act? Those thoughts coming up in just a moment.
What happens next happens on the Como Afternoon News today at 3. Now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
206-421-1000, that is our local line here on Newsline PM, and the toll-free number for you, because Como Fisher Broadcasting would never stick you with a phone bill. 877-397-COMO. That's 877-397-5666. And I'm putting a question on the table based on everything that's occurred today with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on the Health Care Reform Act and what you think of that. So we'll get out here. Let's go to we'll go to Michael in Edmonds. You're up on Newsline PM, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, here's my situation. I was laid off from a local company that has, without a doubt, the best insurance that was available. And it was so good that it was zero out of pocket. Now, even that considered, if I went in for yearly exams, like a six-month dental type thing, that would be covered. But, you know, if there was a cavity discovered, I still had to put out money to get it taken care of. And I have glaucoma, and so I have visits to an ophthalmologist twice a year to check my pressure, and, of course, medication that I have to take for the rest of my life. Now, after I was laid off, the company was required to offer me continued coverage, and that was subsidized through a COBRA program, and my monthly payments were $265. Now, there was a predetermined amount of time where that was going to stop, and they would no longer be required to subsidize my coverage. And at that point, my coverage jumped up to $585 a month. So now we're going from $3,180 a year to $7,020 a year. So I had to drop it. There's no way I could afford to do that.
But well, then Michael, you should be happy with this health care reform bill then.
Well, let me finish this out.
But I need you to do it quickly.
Let me finish this, Ken. I've discovered that all my health care providers offer me a cash discount if I pay for services the day they're rendered. And this past year, including $100 a month for my glaucoma medication, my total dollars out, $1,790. So I'd love to have somebody be able to give me a formula to plug in my situation and tell me how this is going to improve. Obviously, I don't think anybody out there
Michael, here's, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate the detail here, but here's what I will say. They have a sliding scale that's going to be available for the basic health care plan and Medicaid here in Washington State. Federal dollars coming in to help subsidize that. Now, you can still choose to do cash out of pocket. Or if that becomes prohibitively expensive and the fact that they can no longer tell you that you can't be provided with health insurance because of pre-existing conditions, all of that is rolled into this health care bill. So the mandate that you have to buy health insurance can be satisfied once the state reestablishes the roles of basic health care, which is on a sliding scale, or Medicaid if you qualify for that. So I don't see anything that you've just described that should leave you in a quandary as to whether or not this benefits you, to be quite frank with you. Let me go out here. We'll go to Sherry in Fort Lewis. You're up on Newsline PM.
Hey, Ken. It's Sherry. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I am 52, a full-time student, and am now cancer-free after battling breast cancer after 2 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. No health care. This is absolutely a fabulous win. I am very excited, and it kind of puts my hopes and dreams back into maybe we can get this country going again.
And I appreciate your call, and I thank you. I think what people, and this is, we've talked about this to some extent today, is that the mandate aspect of this health care reform bill is what has stuck in most people's craws. The majority of people like the rest of the Health Care Reform Act. They like the can't be denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. They like the fact that they can keep their kids on their health care insurance up until they are 26 years old. People have stuck in their mind, they're going, I can't afford to go out and buy health care insurance or pay a fine if I don't. The provision for that, again, is the basic health care program here in Washington State and Medicaid. Medicaid being funded for at least, I think, the next 3 years, 100% by federal dollars. And the savings from that is what's going, that will result from people who use, say, emergency rooms as their primary physician. So I think that some of this hasn't been adequately explained or talked about. And that's why people are remaining upset over this, thinking my kids, my grandparents, my wife is, or me and my wife are going to be forced to buy health care insurance when I can't afford it. If you can't afford it, you will be allowed to get on either the basic health care program, which is a sliding scale that you pay, or Medicaid. This has to be shaken out more. This has to be detailed a lot more, I think, than it has been. And this certainly isn't going to be the last day that we talk about this. In a moment, we'll continue with another Supreme Court decision that came down today. We'll see what you think of this one.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
You know, earlier today when we were talking with the director of the Washington State Healthcare Authority, we were addressing this issue of people being required to go out and purchase health care insurance or face a fine from the IRS. Of course, we did hear from Wacky Lady, who then called up and said, the IRS, they're getting guns. They're going to go after people. And I said, yeah, they're going to shoot everybody who's not insured. Anyway, when we spoke to the director of the Health Care Authority, I mean, there has been the Medicaid expansion, which will take place in 2014. The state of Washington, under the mandate provided by Governor Chris Gregoire, who said, look, this law was passed March 2010. We're going forward with it. It's the law of the land. We're going to go with what this Health Care Reform Act provides, and we'll let everything else shake out as it will. So, in many respects, we are ahead of the game with this decision today by the U.S. Supreme Court, because you've got we talked to Mike Kreidler, you know, the Washington State Insurance Commissioner. We talked to the governor earlier. All of these things, and the thing that I want to kind of make sure that you remember is this. The mandate to buy health care insurance doesn't mean that you've got to go into some insurance agent's office and plunk down a bunch of money. If you're earning minimum wage, or if you're, you know, under the poverty level by a certain percentage, you can get on the state's basic health care program or Medicaid. That satisfies the mandate. Okay? In a moment, there was another ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court today. And it was the Stolen Valor Act ruling. I'll tell you what that said in a moment.